Good morning. Last week, we began the sugya of Brahma and Garmi, and we began dealing with the question of when is a person responsible for damage or losses that he caused indirectly. So on the way back to Lakewood last week, I got a phone call with the following story. There was a person on his way into the city. He was running a bit late for a meeting. As he pulls onto the block where the meeting was, he sees there's a parking spot right in front of the building. Now he knows it's too good to be true. He wasn't a person that goes to the city often. He wasn't familiar with the parking rules. So he quickly called a friend of his who worked in the neighborhood and said, listen, I'm late for this meeting. I don't have time to figure out what kind of, you know, whether I'm allowed to park. Can I park in this spot or not? And the person said, yeah, sure. It's a legal spot. Parks, goes to his meeting. And sure enough, when he comes back, his car wasn't there. Or he had a ticket. And so the question over here is the person who advised him and told him, it's funny, you can park over here, is he responsible for the loss, is he responsible for the ticket or for the towing or not? Now to discuss just a few other common cases of Grama and Garmi, then we'll go back to the sugya and go through the halachas. Probably the most common question of Garmi is a person has a store, someone buys something, pays with a check, and the check bounces. When the check bounces, the person who deposited the check very often gets a fee from the bank. Is the person who wrote the check responsible for that fee? He's not a mazik b'yadayim, he didn't direct, but because he gave a bad check, that caused the recipient to incur this fee, and this is again a question of Grama and Garmi, is he responsible for that fee? Now the truth is, this question can be taken a step further. What happens if, based on this check, the recipient went ahead and wrote out another check with the expectation that it's going to clear and I'll have money in the account? Now that the first check bounced, now the check that he wrote out based on that money bounced as well. So how far does the original person who wrote the bad check, how far does his liability go? Another common issue is when you're dealing with professional malpractice. Now that's something which, again, there are other halachos we'll have to deal with, you know, with doctors, but typically, or very often, the case is where you'll have a doctor, he'll miss a result on a test. And because of that, something will happen to the patient. Now that is not a mazik b'yadayim. Mazik b'yadayim would be is if a doctor is operating and chops off the wrong leg. There is a mazik b'yadayim. Over here, if you just miss a test, you neglect to act, there, at most, it's a question of grum or garmi. An accountant that gives bad advice, you don't file for a credit or a deduction that you could have had. It's not a mazik b'yadayim in most cases. It's a mistake that's goyra mehefsid, and therefore we'll have to, the halacha in all these cases will depend on the sugya of grum and garmi. Now to briefly recap what we went through last week, is last week we started off with a number of cases, more about in Akainis, where everyone agrees that you're putter for the damage that you cause. The first class of cases was if you hashavas aveda, if you have an opportunity to save someone, it's raining, you pass by, his car door is open, there's a chiyav hashavas aveda to close the door to protect the damage from happening. But neglecting to be meshav aveda labailim does not create a chiyuv mamon. The same case was if you know edus, you have information, you're able to testify on behalf of a plaintiff, you refuse to do so, and because of that he loses out. You've caused him a loss, but since it's just you neglected to do to help save him, there everyone would agree there is no chiyuv mamon. There is a chiyuv lotzis yidei shamayim. The second class of cases are cases where the person suffers an actual loss. It's your fault, but you did not do the complete action. We had various cases where there's an item, you either break the lock, you open the door, or you notify, you tell a ganiv how there are goods available, and he goes ahead and steals them. So in all of those cases, although you without your action, the theft would not have occurred. Since your action alone is not what caused the damage, someone else had to go ahead and do something, you had to have a ganev come in and actually steal the item, you had to have someone else do something, there, that is the case of grama, there's a chiv lotes yidei shamayim, you're responsible. It's certainly an avera, it's certainly an avla, and you're not nimchal until you reimburse the person for the loss. But since it took someone else's actions for it to actually create the loss, there is not garmi. There you would not have to pay. The last case was a case where you put poison in front of an animal. So there, according to Tosfos and the Shach Pasuk like this la halacha, even though it's expected, it's normal for the animal to go ahead and eat the poison, it doesn't have, you can't read the poison label. Still, since it was self-inflicted, the animal brought it upon itself. Again, reasonably so, we're not blaming the animal, the animal's not a bardas, but since the animal brought the damage upon itself, therefore you'd be putter in that case as well, and there would only be a chiyuv latzis de shamayim. These are the cases that the Gemara says are putter, and everyone more or less agrees to these cases that you're not going to be liable. To jump to the other cases, there are a number of cases in the Gemara where the Gemara says it is garmi. And although garmi is a machlokes, we hold that garmi is chayiv. And therefore, the next few cases, everyone agrees you will have to pay. And that is, if you have a dayan, there's a din Torah, you go to a dayan, the dayan is not qualified, he's not samuch, or whatever the situation is, he passes wrong. Because of the wrong psak, now the wrong person ends up with the money. So halacha is, the dayan is chayiv midina de garmi. Since through his psak, once he paskened, the damage was done, the money is lost, the dayan is responsible. And as I mentioned last week, when you go to a din Torah, you typically sign an arbitration agreement where you waive all of your claims against the dayan. And the reason for that is, otherwise, the dayanim have personal responsibility for any mistake they may make. Actually, not any mistake, it depends on the type of mistake, but a kopana matters why you have that waiver, because there is liability. Similarly, if you go to a banker and you have a $100 bill, you're not sure if it's counterfeit or not. You ask the banker, should I accept this money or not? And he says, yes, it's good. It's, you know, holds it up to the light. He says it's good. You accept it. If it turns out that it's counterfeit, the banker is liable. This is another case of garmi. He didn't be a dayan do anything. But because he, in a sense, paskened, he advised you to accept it. It was clear that you were relying on him, so there, that is a case of garmi, and you're going to be responsible for the resulting damage. Now the Ramah in Simen Kuf Chav Tes extends this case. He has a case where a person was approached another person for a loan, and the lender was a little bit hesitant. He didn't really know the borrower, and he wasn't sure, can this person really afford to pay him back? Is he an ani or is he an usher? So he calls a mutual friend and says, you know this borrower, you're familiar with, tell me, is he an ani or is he an usher? Is he able to pay me back or not? This third party says, don't worry, he's an usher, he has plenty of money. You lend it to him, and then it turns out at the end he doesn't pay you back, and it turns out he was really penniless at the time. So over there, there are more paskins that you're going to have to pay because of Dina de Garmi. Just like if you vouch for a coin, you say it's real, and it turns out it's counterfeit, you have to pay. If you vouch for a person, even though you didn't say I'm a guarantor, you didn't accept arvus, if you tell him, I know his financial situation, he's solid, he can afford to pay it back, and it turns out that is not true, there is a chiyuv of garmi. Arguably, if you're doing your financial, if there's a deal going on and you ask for the financial statements, and the accountant forwards you some certified financial statements that are bogus, that would be a similar idea. You're telling the person he is an usher. You're representing that the borrower has the ability to pay it back. It's not true, and in that case, there would be liability.
How about the person himself?
Well, it's not so relevant because he owes you the money anyway. Because he's borrowed from you. So there's no difference whether he has to pay you back because he borrowed or because he's a mazik. There is an Imri Bina that deals with the fact that if you borrow money and it's a toyus, he said he wants to make it into a gazel, it's a chiddush. But there is in a similar case, there is such a shita, but again I wouldn't be samech on it so quickly la halacha.
The guy had money, he's chayav whether or not he knew, he really thought that the person had money.
So Hagufa. So the halacha, the shach over there explains that to go ahead and to vouch for someone, unless your mom is you know every, he says that itself is negligence. Because you don't really know. The fact that you happen to see him driving a nice car or you had some circumstantial evidence that made him look rich is not enough to go ahead and take a position. Okay, so Minyas HaRevach will be different, and that we'll have to get to. In general, Minyas HaRevach is not going to be Garmi. There will be some exceptions, but the simple halacha is there's no Garmi. Now, this is all, by the way, only if at the time of the loan your information was incorrect. On the other hand, if on the time of the loan he was able to afford it, and if something happened afterwards, certainly there's no Arvus. Certainly, that's not Garmi. The Garmi is only when you misrepresented his financial standing at the time that he borrowed the money. It also has to be clear that you're relying on the person. In all of these halachas, Ma'ariv Din L'Shulchani, it's only when it's clear the person is relying on your opinion, your statement, and based on that, he's going to go ahead and do it. If he's just nonchalantly asks for your opinion, you don't suddenly become liable on opinion. It has to be the setup where he told you clearly, I'm asking you because I need to know and I'm relying on what you say. So if he said it or if it's clear from the situation he's going to rely on you, that is where this discussion of Garmi begins. Okay, we'll get back to balance checks. There's more to that question.
If the accountant was part of the firm, it's pretty obvious, but let's just say the accountant, trusted, whatever, all evidence that the accountant had was that the person was solvent.
That would be fine. We're going to see that if Garmi is only when you had some knowledge or some real negligence involved. If you were acting in good faith, if you're an oinis, if you're... we'll get to the Gedarim later, but in general, there will not be Chiyuv Garmi unless you either know or should have known. In this case, vouching for someone's financial, ability without having direct knowledge is considered negligence.
Does that mean both people are required to pay?
Correct. The person who borrowed the money certainly has to pay back because he borrowed. The point over here is that because he's an Ani, he's not able to pay you back. So there you want to go after the deeper pockets, the person who vouched for him, and there's a concept of Garmi if he misrepresented what the person's standing was. So if you hedge it and you give a parve answer, l'chari there's no Garmi. There was a case that came up, it was a fascinating case. Someone went ahead and borrowed, a fundraiser who worked for executive director that worked for a certain organization, and he went ahead. He went over to someone. Actually was a younger man, and he said he needs a certain amount. It was $30,000 for 2 weeks. And this younger man was buying a house in a month or something. This is his total life savings. But okay, you need it for 2 weeks. So before he wrote out the check, he asked the person, "Tell me, are you good for the money?" So the director said, "Mirtzeh Hashem, we're good for the money." Sure enough, the next week, the Moisid collapsed under a huge amount of debt. So going after the Moisid wasn't an option because they collapsed. 3 cents on the dollar wasn't going to get them very far. So he went after the person we dealt with. And he said, "You should be chayev al tzgarmi. I asked you, before I lent the money, I asked, are you able to pay, is the Moisid good for the money? And you said yes." The director responded, "First of all, I didn't say yes. I said, Emir Teshem, we're good for the money." Now, you knew the Moisid wasn't wealthy. We've been borrowing money. We've always borrowed money. Somehow, things always worked out, and we're always saying we have bitachon. That's how we've been running for many years. So, Bishleim, if I told you we're Ashirim, and really was Aniyim, we can talk about Garmi. But if you knew it was a risk, you knew that we were borrowing because we had cash flow issues, and I told you, Emir Teshem, things will work out, he said that's not enough to make it Garmi. And then in addition, what he did point out, he was able to establish that at the time that he borrowed the money, he was being slamed. There were two or three things, there were donors that had made pledges and things that were supposed to come in. These are people who had made pledges in the past. And for some reason, between the time he took the loan and the week or two later, all of these people had backed out of their commitments. So in that case, at the time that he said it and that he had made the pledge, it was reasonably true. There was a way, it was reasonably possible that there was a way to pay it back. and he did not give a very overwhelming commitment, so you cannot be mechayev him, you can't personally for this kind of debt. But it is something, if you're ever asked an opinion about someone, so it's clear they're relying on you, you have to realize you have a responsibility, and if you give an endorsement, it is very possible you'll have a chiv of garmi.
Is there a possibility to say that the guy says, mention the payback, some kind of a disclaimer like that, and Maisa, he's asking for an opinion, he gave an opinion, and it's just like,
It depends. That is a reasonably good point. There was some back and forth about exactly what was said, and you know, even if the words on paper, Mirz Hashem, but if it was said in a way that would be understood as yes, we're good for the money, lend the money, enochanami. I think the focus is more on the second point, that at that time he had a reasonable basis to assume that to expect it to be paid, because there were ways, there was expectations of money that would come in that would be able to pay it off.
There was a shtar.
No, there was no shtar. This is verbal. In all these cases of garmi, the mazik is that you told him, or you gave him instructions, or you endorsed that he's good for the money. You don't need a shtar. The very fact that you gave the advice, it was clear he relied on your advice, is enough to mechayev al garmi. Shtaris are only if you want to be an arev, you want to be a guarantor, so then you don't need a shtar in halacha, but then you will have a shtar. But the point of here is not that he guaranteed it. The point is that he was a mazik, there's a tort involved, because of his representation, you went ahead and you advanced the money that ultimately disappeared. Now another case of garmi is if you destroy an IOU note. Person borrows money, there's a shtar that is evidence of the loan, and someone comes along and destroys that shtar. Now by destroying the shtar, you've essentially made it impossible for the creditor to recover his funds. He no longer has any evidence. You know, in an extreme case, if he's trying to collect from the borrower is doesn't have any money, but he had sold off karka, he sold off some real estate. So normally there's achrayus. As long as there's a shtar, you can go after people who bought property. It's a lien against all the properties that were sold after the loan. The moment you destroyed the shtar, now it is impossible to go after these third parties, these people who purchased properties. And therefore, that is a case of garmi. There, you're going to be chayiv for the damage that you've caused if the person refuses to pay. Now, these are all cases of garmi, where, as I mentioned before, it's a machlokes. But we hold l'halacha like Rav Meir, that don dina de garmi, and therefore l'halacha, everyone agrees in these cases, you'd have to pay. Now we have a few cases where halacha is not so clear. The first case is, and these are all, fascinating chedusha. First case is a person is standing by a beach, and he's holding a coin. So halacha is, if you go over to the person, you grab the coin out of his hand and flick it into the water. So there you have to pay. The moment you took it from him, you're a goslin, and a goslin has to return the item, you're responsible to pay. What if you don't grab the coin from him? What you do is you knock his hand. And because of that, because you bang his hand hard enough, the coin drops into the water. So here the Gemara makes the following distinction. If they're muddy waters, you can't recover the coin anymore. You're a mazik. You've caused damage. The coin is not recoverable. There's little difference between knocking it into a fire or knocking it into the water. You can't find it. You can't see it. And therefore, you're responsible to pay. However, if it's mayim tzlulin, if the water is clear, what the Gemara says, you're potter. Because you can say, your coin, it's right over there. Now, it happens to be 70 feet underwater, and you don't know how to swim. But what's the big deal? You hire a diver, pay someone to go swim down and recover the coin. The coin is not damaged. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just hard. It's harder to access it. So although to get it back, you're going to have to spend money, you have to hire a diver. That's not damage. What I did is I did something to the coin. I knocked the coin into the water. Is there anything wrong with the coin? No. It's a perfectly good coin. Therefore, the Gemara says in this case, even though you're going to have to spend money to hire someone to recover it, that is indirect, and the Gemara says that you're going to be potter. That's case number one. Case number two, also a similar concept, but a different mitzvahs. If you have a coin, so if a person comes along and scrapes off the symbol on the coin, the president, the picture, whatever is there, so now it's no longer a good coin. So you're a mazik. You went ahead, you took a perfectly good coin, you scraped off part of it. You're a mazik, and you have to pay for whatever the value, whatever the loss is. However, what happens if you don't scrape it off? What you do is you take a hammer and you just bang it in. So you have the full weight of the coin is still there. It's intact. You haven't separated. You haven't really done anything. But what you've done is because you banged it in, the symbol is no longer visible and it won't be accepted as a coin. The Gemara says, your pater. This is not called a hezek in the guf hadavar. It's true to use it again. You have to pay the mint to go ahead and to re-stamp it. But that's like paying a diver to go after it. It's not called a damage in the actual item. And therefore, the Gemara says that you're going to be potter.
Does it make a difference when the coin actually goes because of the weight of the metal?
Yes, very good, very good, very good. There are those that Chazon Ish points out that if you have today's currency is a fiat currency, where the whole currency is because of the picture on it, so there, when you destroy the currency, it's gone. It's the same, it's the equivalent of throwing it into a fire. It's no longer a quarter. It's just a hunk of metal. Back then, the currencies were primarily based on the value of the gold and the silver. The reason why you needed a coin is the coin was basically a way to guarantee what the weight, that it has the correct weight, and how much gold or how much silver that it is. In that case, the Chazon Ish says, that's why we can discuss this only being a groma, because you're basically just taking away the verification that this is the correct weight, and that's why you'd be putter. But today's currency, the Chazon Ish would hold your chayiv.
So if I
were
to smash somebody's car, the
very good. So the Yam Shel Shlomim brings down from the Tefnas Paneach a tremendous chiddush. He says, if you're driving an 18-wheeler and you smash into someone's car, if you're mafsid it, a little, some of the glass goes flying, or there's a hefsid kol dehu, then everyone agrees you're responsible. But what happens if you just smash it, nothing gets lost. It's all there, just smashed together. So the Tzavis Paneach says, in such a case, you'd be potter. However, the Shach Bleibs Tzarechiyon, and the Chazon Ish says, there's no such thing. Again, it's only in the case of a currency where the value is the gold, or the weight of the gold and the silver. You're just taking away the verification. There we can talk about Grama and Garmi. But a Kli, which is destroyed, and now even if you can remake it, it's Panim Chadoshos, the Chazon Ish says, Dabar Pashur, that you would be Chayiv. And I think that's...
You can't remake it.
No, if you can't remake it, then you're talking going to be Chayiv. It's Neva. Tzavos Paneach's point is, the same way by a coin, you can go ahead and you can re-stamp it, and you can now you can use it as a coin. So if I take your kli and I smash the mumper, you can in theory pull it out and you can make it usable again. So the Tzavos Paneach says that you'd be potter because it's only a grum. And on that, Chazon Ish says that lahadam, it's only by a coin, it's not going to apply to a kli.
So what's the sport? Does it have a technical difference if the coin is on the
The point is that in one, that's really, so we'll get to that in a moment. The point over here is that when you destroy an item, when you throw an item, you burn it, you melt it down, you're a mazik because you directly did something to the coin. If you have a coin in a house and I lock the house, or better yet, you have it's in a vault and I destroy the key, I haven't done anything directly. Now, it's true to get to it, you're going to have to hire a locksmith. But since it is not direct, it's mom and acher, there's an expense you're going to incur to get to it, but I haven't physically damaged this item, that's why it's a question of grama, and that's why, according to the Gemara, you're potter. Again, we'll get halacha l'maaseh, we'll get to, but that's the chor of the chiluk in the Gemara. Now, the last case, which is probably the most mechudish, is, say you're on the top floor of the Empire State Building. You're talking to your friend, and there's a very delicate glass vase. Get into a bit of a fight, you take the vase, you chuck it out the window. Obviously, if it hits the ground, it smashes, you're a mazik, you're a mechayev. I'm assuming you're not a roidev, there's no kamei b'javineg, let's put that aside, but you're a mazik. Now, what happens if this is really a setup? When you took the vase and tossed it out the window, it's because before you came in, you arranged a nice set of pillows underneath, right next to the building. And you figure you have this expensive Chinese vase. You throw it out the window. He'll get all upset. It'll be a nice joke. It'll hit the pillows. It'll be a nice joke. Nothing will happen. It'll be a nice joke. Good, that's what you do. You take the vase, you chuck it out the window. But what you didn't realize is that someone else, your friend who you let in on the joke, decided he has a better joke. And he goes ahead and he pulls away the pillows. Pulls away the pillows, the vase smashes into the ground and breaks. Who's responsible? Now again, to clarify, the case is you threw the vase. When you threw the vase, there were pillows underneath. After, as it's hurtling down, someone pulls away the pillows. So Zog the Gemara, everyone's pater. The person who threw the vase is pater, because at the time he threw the vase, he's not a mazik. He threw it, he dropped it on a bunch of pillows. That's not a mazik, it's just going to hit the pillows, bounce up, and everything will be fine. The person who pulled away the pillow, so the Gemara says, it's only a grumma. You're not the one, you're not the mazik. You're not the one that destroyed it. Well, this vase is hurtling down because of the other person. All you did is there was something that would have saved it, there's something that would have cushioned its fall. You took away the cushion. Taking away the cushion, the Gemara says, is only a grumma, and you're going to be pater.
Why isn't he a gana for picking it up and throwing it out the window?
Oh, the first person?
The first person.
Okay, fine. You know, let's put Hilchos Gneiva aside. We're going to focus on the masik part. So this is what the Gemara says. So now the Yerushalayim are all bothered by. We went through cases, the case that we just went through now about the coin, about pulling away a pillow. There, when you pull away the pillow, the thing's going to break. And we're saying you're potter. Masha Enkein, if you burn the shtar, or a person that gives bad advice, there we said you're going to be chayiv. What is the difference? When do you say something is grama and is potter? When do you say it's garmi and you're chayiv? So in the Rishayim, there are going to be three basic approaches for the difference between grama and garmi, when you're chayiv and when you're potter. And we'll have to go back to the cases we started with originally. Every question of grama and garmi, we're going to have to cheshbin these three shitas in the Rishayim according to are you chayiv or according to or your potter, and what's the halacha. The first shita is the shita of Rambam. The Rambam is the most machmir. What the Rambam says is these gemaras that say you're potter when you drop the coin into the water or if you pull away the pillow, it's like the Rambam, we mentioned before, that every garmi is really a machlokes. Some shitas hold you're never responsible for garmi. You're only responsible if you do things directly. Zog the Rambam, these Gemaras that say you're potter by pulling away the pillow, by knocking into the water, this Gemara holds, there's no such thing as garmi. This Gemara holds, you're always potter. But Zog the Rambam, we don't paskin like that. We paskin that you are chayiv for dafru on garmi, and therefore the Rambam says all of these cases you're going to have to pay. Groma garmi makes no difference according to the Rambam. If you cause damage, you have to pay. Now, even according to the Rambam, there are some limitations. And what the Rambam, the Chumash Rambam writes is, the ikar is you need kavanos lahazik. You need that your intent was to cause damage. If your intent was to cause damage, and you did the whole, you didn't need someone else's action, you know, it's the case that there's some amavis or whether, or, but if your intent was to cause damage, and you do cause damage, according to the Rambam, you're always going to have to pay. Oh, it's like this. And even though the Rambam says you need kavanos lahazik, but let's go back to the case of Mari. You asked the dying in the paskin wrong. Now, the dying in the paskin wrong, he didn't know he was paskin wrong. He thought he was doing it right. But still, the fact that he's not qualified and he chose to answer the question when he wasn't qualified, that is enough negligence. That's enough of a pshia to be considered kavanos lahazik. A banker with a counterfeit coin is the same halacha. And the same halacha would presumably be you tell someone that the borrower has money when he doesn't. You don't need real intent, but you need real negligence. You have to. You need a pretty strong level of recklessness in order to be responsible.
How about throwing the vase out of the window? The Rambam and Patra?
No, it's the Rambam Taka that holds your chayiv in that case.
Why?
No. So okay. The Rambam Grada is, in the case where you pull away the pillow, there the Rambam clearly holds that you're chayiv. Because it's kavanos lahazik. You pulled it away with a vase hurtling down, they're going to have to pay.
The second person,
right. The first person, so it'll depend, because there they're yachayiv, and there what the poskim say is, because chucking a vase out the window, when someone else's pillow is there, you don't know, someone else can come and just remove the pillow. So therefore, you would be liable in that case as well. So that's the Shitas Rambam. The Mechaber passes like this Rambam. So basically, if you're a Sfardi, you have to watch out. Because whatever you do, if your intent is to cause damage and damage and it results in, you're going to be responsible to pay. These, you know, these the various tanoim or conditions that we're going to go through are not going to apply according to the Rambam, and therefore across the board, if this is your intent or there was real negligence, you're going to be responsible for any damage that that comes about because of what you did. It would go by the mazik. If the mazik is a svardi, then according to the Rambam and according to the Mechaber, he's going to have to pay. And if he's what? So that again, that we discussed. There are those that say that you look at that the Bezdin has to paskin based on their halachos, not regardless of the parties. You know, it's in Orachayim and Yerodeya. It's pasha when someone asks a Rav a shayla, if he's a svardi, you should be answering based on his minhag. But there is, Ramis and Karelitz has a tshuva where he writes, and when it comes to a din Torah, you're makabel the Bezdin, so there the Bezdin has to paskin based on their rules, which means that if you ever get damaged, you should try to pull the person into a Sfaradi Bezdin.
That's basically based on the Nemelai and the
Roy. What?
That's based on the Nemelai and the Roy.
Whatever, it's really, he bases it on something. He bases it on something. It's... You know, he bases it on something else, but it's you know, it's not for now.
Does what?
So this is the Shitas Rambam, which is most machmir. Basically, your intent is to damage, it causes the damage, you're going to have to pay. The Rosh and Taisus, at least in the Havimino, have the most complicated concept of Grama and Garmi. The Rosh goes through a bunch of conditions. The conditions actually seem pretty straightforward, but as we're going to see, when you try to apply the conditions to the actual cases that we went through, it's going to be very difficult to understand. But the Rosh says, and Pashas in all the conditions, is that to be high, for something to be considered garmi, to be responsible, you need to have that, number one, the hezek is certain. If you do something which may or may not cause damage, it's not bari hezeka. So then, again, if you're a mazik b'yadayim, you know, a mazik is a mazik. But when you're dealing in the realm of grum and garmi, you do something and a consequence is the damage occurs, there it has to be bari hezekah. It has to be certain that the damage will occur. If it's not certain, and for example, there's a dog, you know, we mentioned the case, mishasabai sakelev, you smack the dog or you get it all worked up, you then run away, your friend is left with the dog and gets bitten. So that is a case where although you caused it, you hit the dog, and as a result it went after this, your friend, but it's not bari hezekah. It may or may not have gone after, actually hurt the other person. Where it's not bari hezekah, the Rosh says you're going to be pater. In addition, you need that the hezek happens miyad. The damage happens to be immediate. In the case of Mara Dinner L'Shulchani, the moment you say this coin is good and it's accepted, he now accepted a counterfeit coin, he lost his money. Now, he may be able to catch the god, may not, but right now he suffered that loss. He's accepted this counterfeit coin in exchange for his goods. The hefsid happened immediately. However, if the hefsid happens over time, it happens later on, there it is not miyad, and it would not, you would not be chayav al tzvam and garmi. Again, by a mazik b'yadayim, none of these rules apply. You shoot an arrow, it doesn't matter how long it takes for it to hit the mark. It doesn't have to be miyad. It doesn't even have to be bari hezekah. You can shoot it in a case where it's not clear where it'll hit, but if it does hit, you're the mazik b'yadayim, you'd have to pay. But in grama and garmi, where it's indirect, you need to have that the damage is immediate and that it's certain.
In these cases...
The last condition that he needs is that the hezek happens to be on the thing that you're acting upon. It has to be direct that you did something to the item and that's where the damage was. And based on this, the Rosh says, when you pull away the pillow, you didn't do anything, the damage was not on the pillow. Damage was to the vase. You didn't touch the vase. So in that case, where your damage, where your action was on one thing and something else got damaged, there the Rosh said that would be groma and there you'd be pater. The same halacha would be is when you knock the coin into the water. Even though you knock the coin into the water, there's nothing wrong with the coin. The coin has the same value. The only problem is that now to recover the coin, you're going to have to hire a diver. That is a hefsid in Maman Acher. The loss is not in the coin. The loss is paying someone to actually dive after the coin. And therefore, according to the Rosh, that would be a case of groma. And there you would not have to pay because it's not a hezek in that moment. What?
Not in the hand. It's not like you directly impacted the coin.
No, and also the point over here, it's not a hezek b'yadayim because there's nothing wrong with the coin. The point is the loss over here is not in the coin itself. The loss is that you're going to have to pay someone to recover the coin. And that, the Rush holds, is a grum.
The last tonight seems like it's mazik b'yadayim, not grum. What's the difference in between mazik b'yadayim?
No, because
it's saying it has to be direct, and it can't be indirect.
Sayrish tereisav shachaveiroi. If you burn a person's IOU note, you haven't burned his money, but you burnt his, the shtar, which is related to the money, and the Rosh holds that's enough to be chayiv. A dying that paskin's wrong. He's paskling about this item, not about something else. He's paskling about this. He's saying this is kosher, this is treif, whatever it is, and he's wrong. So his action was directed to this specific thing, but it's not a mazik b'yadayim. He didn't actually do anything physically. And lastly, in the case of kalayim, if you allow your gefen to grow into his tevuah, so it's directed towards his tevuah. His tevuah is what's getting mixed and what's becoming klayim, but it's not a mice to be a dime. You didn't physically with your hands do anything, and therefore it's a question of grama garmi, and according to the Rosh, you'd be chayiv in such a case. Oh, very good. So if it's not recoverable, you're right. If it's not possible to recover, again, there's a tzayis that has a deek from a Ramban, not like this.
It is possible to recover.
You're saying the value goes down. Very good. So the tzayis asks this kasha. What the tzayis once says is that if you knock a coin 70, if let's say you have a coin that's worth a dollar, how much is a coin 70 feet below the water worth? In a case of zero, probably everyone would agree that's not called able to recover. If the cost of recovery is more than the item, then it's considered not being able to recover. But let's assume it's a $1,000 coin. It's a nice gold coin, it's worth $1,000. You pay someone $100 to recover it, you'll get it back. So what you're saying is, right now, this coin is only worth $900. And therefore, it should be a mazik, a coin under the water is a hezik to the coin. So Tzoyis asked this kasha. Tzoyis really obliged Tzorachian. The Meish of Dover has an interesting teretz. He says that this, because of this kasha, he says it applies only to currency. He said coins are worth, a dollar is worth a dollar. A dollar in a vault where you don't have the key is still worth a dollar. But it'll cost you money to get there. He says, so Bishlam, if you're dealing with an item, a chefetz, you're dealing with a cup. So a cup, you want to know the market value of the cup, we have to look at the whole situation, what it'll cost to get there. And if it's under the water, he says, it'll be worth less. But because currency is, by definition, a dollar is a dollar, $100 is $100, he says, when you're dealing with currencies, if there's any problem getting there, we don't look at it as a hefset in the actual currency, we look at it as an outside loss, and he says, that's the only case where this halacha would apply. It's a chiddush, but that's what the Meshav Dover paskins. Pashup Shad is probably that not everything that you have to spend money on changes the market value of the item. If you have an item in your house and I lock your house, do we say that now that it'll cost you $100 to break open the lock, everything in your, do we look at it now that everything in your house really went down in value by 1/100th? No. We say that everything in the house stayed the same. It happens to be to get access to it, you'll have to hire a locksmith. And in that case, if you look at it like that, then it's true you'll spend money. It's true if you try to sell it to a hedge fund, they're going to take this into account. They're not going to pay the full amount. But since the item itself didn't change, this would be considered a grama and not garmi. No. I mean, we'll get back to that in a minute, but pashut you would not need. You would need bari azeka, you need miyad. So you have to be doing something which is a pretty direct result that damage will happen, but it does not say anything about kavanas lahazak. Now this is a Shitas HaRosh. The Shitas HaRosh is by far the most complex because you have to figure out whether it's Bari Ezeka, whether it's Miyad, whether it's Mais and the Gufadover. And these Klolim are not what they seem to be, because a Psak Din is considered a Mais and the Gufadover, which Taisus really is meant to be a why. You're not doing anything directly. But still, since the Rosh seems to hold, since you're passing about this item, that meets the criteria and you be Chayiv. The third Shita, which is a Shita of Taisus, is that Taisus is also bothered by these kashas. He's bothered by these gemaras. What's the difference? Sometimes you're chayiv, sometimes you're pater. He's unhappy with the Rosh's chalukim. So Zok Taisus, a chiddush. Zok Taisus, in the Iker Hadin, every grama and garmi should be pater. You're only responsible when you do something directly. You go ahead, you smash a window. That's the only parasha of mazik is only of mazik b'yadayim. Now Chazal saw that if grama is going to be potter, there are going to be problems. So chazal were goyzer. Any time there's an indirect damage which is common, chazal went ahead and made a takano yuchayev al tzgarmi. But Zoktai says it is a knas, is the takano midrabanu, and it does, you don't have to look at the rules whether it's miyad, not miyad, ma'is in the gufa dover, anything which is common in order to save to safeguard commerce, chazal said you're going to have to pay. If it's not common, you're going to be potter. Very good. Difficult question. The Shach actually paskins that you cannot extend this halacha at all. Any case where it says in the Gemara you're chayiv because there's a knas, so the Gemara says you're chayiv, there's a knas. But the moment you want to create a new kind of knas, a new kind of garmi, for example, today we have probably the most common garmi is computer viruses. Someone sends you a virus. You're not be a dayim doing anything, but they're causing your computer to go haywire. So that would be, according to the Shach, where it's only a kenas, so certainly it's shriach, it's common, but since it's a new type of hezek that Chazal never had, you can't make a new takana, you can't answer it. Now that is the sheet of the Shach. However, the Shach is really coming to argue, the Ramah is pretty clear, and from the Achroinim, that there are many cases where they extend garmi and they bring down the different svaras. It sounds like most Achroinim hold that this is not true, and any hezek which is common, you could nail him al tzkanas. So now we have the three rules. We have, on one extreme, we have the Rambam that holds you're always chayiv. As long as you have the intent to do the damage, you're going to be chayiv, and l'chari means mekar hadin. The other extreme, we have Tosfos. It says, really, you're always potter. There's a knas. Anything which is common, Chazal made a knas. If it's not common, you're potter. If it is common, there is midrabanan, you have a chayiv to pay. And then we have the Rosh. The Rosh is the most complicated. The Rosh has all these rules. It has to be miyad, it has to be right away, it has to be bari hazeka, it has to be certain, and it has to be a direct action to the guf hamam. Let's go through some practical cases and start trying to cheshven out which the different shitas. What happens if you do garmi b'shoigig? You bounce a check, and again, we'll discuss bouncing check. If you bounce a check, and we'll discuss later or next week actually what bouncing a check is, but assuming it's garmi. But in this case, it was a mistake. You thought you had money in the account, you had a legitimate reason to believe so, and it turns out that it bounced. Adamu Loilam. Oh, very good. We know that in Hilchos Mazik, if I go ahead and I accidentally smash your windshield with a brick, even if I'm in Shoigig, even if I'm in Oinus, Adam Mur Loilam. Again, Oinus Gomer, there's a Ramban that holds your potter, but in most cases, Adam Mur Loilam, even on regular Oinus, you'd have to pay. And the Ramban Taka Pasin's like that. Garmi, the Ramban goes similar to the Shitas Arash, with one basic, one difference, but he goes follows the Rush. He holds that Garmi is Maker Hadin, your regular Mazik, and therefore, even if it's a mistake, you still have to pay. Now, even the Ramban agrees, it's only by Garmi B'Yadayim, by Garmi with the Dibur, which we'll discuss next week, he says, is Pater Bainus, but that's the sheet of the Ramban. Zok the Shach, nothing doing. The Shach holds all things a Knas. Really, it should be Pater. This is a Knas that Chazal imposed. The Knas, Knas is there when you do it B'mezid, you do it on purpose. You're negligent, you're mamish, a Pshia Karev L'mezid, you can also have a Knas. But if it was a mistake, if it was a true shoigig, certainly if it's an oinus, zok the shach, you're going to be potter. According to what about the Rambam? The Rambam held, when are you chayav al tzgarmi? By kavanos lehazik. It's only when your intent was to do damage. But in a case where it wasn't your intent, it was a shoigig, the Rambam holds there's no chayav garmi. So in any case of garmi, if it was a mistake, unless it's mamish negligence, according to the Shach and according to Taisus, and the Shach holds like this, Allah, you'd certainly be potter. According to the Rambam, you'd be potter. According to the Ramban Taka says you're chayiv if you did a ma'isa because of his chiddush. Halacha l'ma'isa, we have two out of three shitas. Certainly, you can say kimli. And in any case of garmi, where it's b'shoigig, it's going to be potter. Now, you do have to know where to draw the line. Well, Moshe, in cases of balanced checks, so there are a number of tshuvas, from Eretz Yisrael, their bar of shoigig is pretty high, and they say that if you write out a check, you have to make sure that it's covered, and therefore they say even if someone else gives you a check and you assume it's good, they would suggest that perhaps it's negligence, because enough people balance checks, you should have verified the funds were there. But however you're going to put the bar, if it reaches a level of shoigig, it's not real negligence, they're going to be potter. Now, next week in Mirtzeh Hashem, we'll go through some of the other practical cases and discuss how to fit in. Just one quick announcement.
Just wanted to announce, if you have not heard yet, we're going to be having a Yard HaKal tomorrow in Orsmech Shvidler upstairs in the Beis HaMidrash, and Rabbi Marburger will be there at 10 o'clock tomorrow to speaking. We have two speakers, Rabbi Marburger and an exciting young Rav from Queens, which hope you all get to stay for. It'll be from 10 to 11:30, Orsmech upstairs, Yard HaKal. Invite your friends.